Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7, The Killing of the Demon Chanavarta, text number 26. Chanavarta Santarayo Vatya Rupa Doro Haran Krishnam Nabhogato Gantung Nasaknod Bori Bhara Brit Trinavarta Santarayo Vatyavrupa Dvaroharan Krishnam Nabhogato Gantung Nasaknod Bori Bhara Brit Trinavarta Santarayo Vatya Rupa Dvaroharan Krishnam Nabhogato Gantung Nasaknod Bhuri Bhara Brit Trinavarta Santarayo Vatya Rupa Dvaroharan Krishnam Nabhogato Gantung Nasaknod Bhuri Bhara Brit.
Thank you.
Trinavarta. The demon Trinavarta. Shantaraya. The force of the blast reduced. Vatirupadara. Who had assumed the form of a forceful whirlwind. Haran. And had thus taken away. Krishnam. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nabhagata. Went up to the top of the sky. Gundam. To go further. Naasaknot. Was not able. Buribharabrit. Because Krishna then became more powerful and heavy than the demon. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Having assumed the form of a forceful whirlwind, the demon Trinavarta took Krishna very high in the sky. But when Krishna became heavier than the demon had to stop his force and could go no further. Purport. Here is a competition in yogic power between Krishna and Trinavartasura. By practicing mystic yoga, asuras generally attain some perfection in the eight cities or perfections, namely anima, lagima, mahima, prapti, prakamya, isitva, vasitva, and kama, vasayita. But although a demon may acquire such powers to a very limited extent, he cannot compete with the mystic power of Krishna, for Krishna is Yogeshwara, the source of all mystic power, yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. No one can compete with Krishna. Sometimes, of course, having acquired a fragmental portion of Krishna's mystic power, asuras demonstrate their power to the foolish public and assert themselves to be God, not knowing that God is the supreme Yogeshwara. Here also we see that Trinavarta assumed the Mahima city and took Krishna away as if Krishna were an ordinary child. But Krishna also became a mystic Mahima Siddha. When Mother Yasoda was carrying him, he became so heavy that his mother, who was usually accustomed to carrying him, could not bear him and had to place him down on the ground. Thus Trinavarta had been able to take Krishna away in the presence of Mother Yasoda. But when Krishna, high in the sky, assumed the Mahima city, the demon, unable to go further, was obliged to stop his force and come down according to Krishna's desire. One should not, therefore, compete with Krishna's mystic power. Devotees automatically have all mystic power, but they do not like to compete with Krishna. Instead, they fully surrender to Krishna, and their yogic power is demonstrated by Krishna's mercy. Devotees can show mystic power, or mystic yoga, so powerful that a demon could not even dream of it. But they never try to demonstrate it for their personal sense gratification. Whatever they do is for the service of the Lord, and therefore they are always in a position superior to that of the demons. There are many karmis, yogis, and jnanis who artificially try to compete with Krishna. And thus, ordinary foolish people who do not care to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from authorities consider some rascal yogi to be Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the present moment, there are many so-called Babas who present themselves as incarnations of God by showing some insignificant mystic wonder. And foolish people regard them as God because of lacking knowledge of Krishna. Om jnanantamanandasya jnananjana salakaya Chakshamilitam jena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Grota Vatalang Pungun Lang Hagarin Yat Kripataraham Vande Shigurum Dinataranam Vancha Kalpa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaur Bhaktavinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I beg for the blessings of the senior Vaishnavas and the other Vaishnavas that I can say something which is beneficial for all of us. So this pastime is interesting in that this is the only pastime where Krishna becomes so heavy that those who are carrying him can't carry him anymore. Mother Yasoda, she's used to carrying him around. He probably didn't weigh very much, you know. So she was just carrying around, no problem. Then she became so heavy, she was forced to put him down. And then Trinavarta came, picked him up, as light as grass. Very easy to pick up, but then he became so heavy, couldn't carry him anymore. Forced to go down, and it probably went down pretty quick. It's described that he hits a stone slab, and that, of course, that finished his life. So many yogis are there, and they show their mystic power. There was that amazing pastime with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bisakasen, big yogi, and he was also a big rascal, just like this guy. He's a Trinavarti, he's a big demon, also a big rascal. There's a lot of yogis that are big rascals. So this Bisakasen, also a big rascal, he was doing the Rasalila with married ladies and unmarried ladies. And news got out, husbands and fathers complained to the government. It was actually a British government at that time. But they understood, the British government there, they understood that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a religious person, but he was also very powerful. He was a magistrate, very powerful. And they asked him if he could solve this problem. So he went to Bisakasen, and he said to him, you know, you're a yogi, you have some powers. You're out here in this village. Why don't you go to Jagannath Puri and get the darshan of Lord Jagannath? And he said, Jagannath? He's wood. I'm personally the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur became like fire. He became, you know, you don't say that to a pure devotee. So he told, he had some police there, he told them, arrest this rascal. And then he showed some of his mystic powers. He had these big locks, and he started shaking his head, and sparks were flying from the locks of hair. So then the police were like, well, I don't know about this. this person's powerful. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, no, it's okay, just take him. Get him, let's go. So he was so powerful, they had faith in Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They grabbed him, put him in the cart, took him. And he had this another mystic power that he made all the family members of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the other magistrates so sick, Prabhupada said they got to 105 fever. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife said, just see, you've arrested Vishnu, and now we're all going to die. And he said, this rascal has to be punished. Even if we all have to die, he has to be punished. So he had such conviction, so much integrity, that even he was ready to die to chastise this rascal. And somehow they were able, they lived, and the court case came. And he understood that some of these yogis, they have their power in their hair. So he told some barbers, go and cut his hair. And the barbers were afraid. He's Vishnu. You guys are ready to die. What to speak of me if I cut his hair? You know, So then I was just listening. Actually, I was just listening to this morning. Prabhupada said, all right, give me the scissors. I'll cut his hair. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, wouldn't he cut his hair? And then he lost his powers. Immediately they became healthy. And he was sentenced to 6 months in jail. And while he was in jail, he somehow got some poison and killed himself. So God killed himself. So there's so many cheaters out there. So Prabhupada also, he had some mystic power. Sometimes people would ask him, so do you have any yogic power? Do you have any mystic power? And Prabhupada would say, yes, this is my mystic power. And he would point to the devotees. You know, this is real power to turn malechas and yavanas into devotees. That's powerful. He called them his dancing white elephants. Anybody ever seen a dancing white elephant? I guess they're albinos, right? They're probably albino elephants. They're not very often seen. So he said they were like that, his devotees. So that was his great power. So Krishna, his power is unlimited. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. Yatra Partho Dhanarjuna. Tatrashi Vijayobhuti Javani Tirumatirama. This is Krishna's power, that he's the most beautiful and he's always victorious. Even though Krishna is just a child here, how old is he in this pastime? Almost a year old? We're having different opinions. Someone says 3, someone says almost a year. All right, we'll take Archita, probably knows better. Almost a year old, so very young. But he was so powerful even at such a young age. So it's not that you become God. God is always God. So he was able to kill this huge demon. Can't imagine how big he was and how powerful he was. But Krishna, he very easily killed him. Always victorious. Tatashi Vijayo Bhutir, very powerful. And morality, he's very moral. Krishna's very moral. Yeah. He's the best person. Yeah. So, Krishna, he is also known as Ajita, which means he can't be conquered. But we're singing every day here during this month of Damodar that he's conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. Only love can conquer God. And therefore, Mother Yasoda, she was able to tie up baby Krishna. She conquered Krishna. I just heard from Balagopal Prabhu recently that Krishna, he was tied up by Mother Yasoda, and he had some friends around him. And they were trying to untie the knot so that Krishna could be set free. But the love of Mother Yasoda was greater than their love. Parental love was greater than the love of friendship. So they couldn't do it. They couldn't untie him. So, of course, Krishna, he likes to be tied up by his devotee. So here in the first sentence here, Prabhupada says, here is a competition in yogic power between Krishna and Trinavartasura. So it's not uncommon. People like to compete with God. Vayam dutiyo binivesa tasyat isadipitasya vimayato smriti. That fear arises from the dualities of material existence. And when one becomes illusion, when one becomes material illusioned, his conceptions of life become reversed. In other words, instead of thinking of himself to be the servant of God, he becomes the competitor of God. Just like we heard this morning, Savasabhu was reading. Icha dvesa samudvena dvandamohena bharata. That the living entity is born in this world with desire and hate. They desire to be God, and they hate God. They don't want anything to do with God. Just like there's an atheistic society in this country that are trying like anything to get this In God we trust. Off the money that we all carry. It really irks these atheists. You know, they walk around with these notes and these coins that say they believe in God. You know, in God we trust. Of course, fortunately, they haven't been able to be successful, and hopefully they're never successful. Prabhupada once said that the reason America is so opulent, the most opulent, richest country in the world, is because it's the only country in the world that says, in God we trust. So let's see what happens if they're ever successful in taking that off. our forefathers are very religious people. Yeah? So we're fortunate in that, and they've given us laws that allow us to do so many religious activities. So Krishna, he comes to persuade us to again be his servant. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he's persuading Arjuna to do as he desires. And that's also a message for all of us, to do as he desires. You know, he's trying to persuade us to do the right thing, which is to serve him. And he's trying to dissuade us from doing the wrong thing. Right? Abrahma bhuvanaloka punarvart. You know? Krishna says that from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery where repeated birth and death take place. But one who takes to my devotional service, he goes back to my spiritual world and he doesn't come back again. So he's trying to let Arjuna know, listen, this is not a nice place. Get serious, engage in devotional service, go back to Godhead. And I was just reading yesterday, Prabhupada says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says the secret for attaining pure love for Krishna and going back to the spiritual world is found in the Bhagavad Gita. Tesam sarat yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tindami buddhi yogam tam yenam pyanti yandite. That to those who are constantly devoted to me and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So this is what is needed. So we have to engage in favorable devotional service. I'll tell you a nice pastime I recently heard about Prabhupada. I never heard before. It's a nice pastime. You all know the pastime of Brahmatirtha Prabhu, Bob Cohen, in this book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. He was the person having the dialogue with Prabhupada. So at one point, Brahmatirtha, Bob Cohen at the time, he had to leave and he had to go back to America. So before he left, he asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what should I do? So what do you think Prabhupada said? If Prabhupada would say one thing, what do you think Prabhupada would say? Chant Hare Krishna. All right, chant Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yes. Associate with the devotees. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya, when he was preaching to Sanatana Goswami, he said there's five things that are most favorable. Sadhu Sangha, first thing he said. Chanting the holy name, of course, it's very important. You know, this is the process in this age. You know, for becoming purified, going back to Godhead, chanting the holy names. But if we don't have the association of the devotee, imagine if Prabhupada had not come to America. I mean, it's likely that none of us would have even heard the name Krishna. Before I met the devotees, I never heard the name Krishna. I mean, probably some of us would, because there's a lot of Hindus now in the country, but there's that chance. We wouldn't even hear the name Krishna once. But Prabhupada comes, and he just makes the holy name known all over the world. Yeah, amazing. Prabhupada said his desire is that the holy name of Krishna become a household word. He said, this is my desire. And I think the epitome of that desire happened one time when Balavanta was in his home in Gainesville, And his daughter came running to him. She was maybe about 5 years old. And she said, "Pita, Pita, Bugs Bunny is chanting Hare Krishna." And he said, "What?" So he went in there, and sure enough, Bugs Bunny is chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." So back in the 70s, Bugs Bunny was pretty popular. I don't know, do people still watch Bugs Bunny nowadays? I mean, here's a father here. Do they still? I don't know if they do, but back in the 70s, you know, like on Saturday morning, there's like, you know, 20 or 30 million little kids watching Bugs Bunny. It was pretty popular. In fact, all of us watch it. So that's pretty household. That's a household word when Bugs Bunny starts chanting Hare Krishna. So this is the desire of Prabhupada, that everybody hear about Krishna. Yeah. Many other swamis came to America. Even there was one, I think it was Newsweek magazine, The Year of the Guru, and so many swamis were in there, and they put Prabhupada in there, and Prabhupada was upset. He said, "I should have not been with these Mayavadi rascals." So he didn't like that, actually. Because they all come and they preach Mayavad philosophy. But Prabhupada came and he gave bhakti. And Prabhupada mentioned that these swamis, they also knew about Krishna. They knew about Krishna, but they hid Krishna. They didn't want to say anything about Krishna, because then they thought, well, this is religion, this is some religion. So they hid Krishna. Never said anything about Krishna. And they were actually impressed that Prabhupada had such success while preaching Krishna consciousness, you know, telling people directly about Krishna. Yeah. They were impressed. And they would tell him, when they would meet with Prabhupada, once, you know, they would be amazed that you've done so much, you're so successful. Why did he have so much success? Because he had love for Krishna. And they didn't have that. So therefore, how could they have any success in directly preaching Krishna consciousness? After Prabhupada left, shortly after Prabhupada left in Vrindavan, there was, of course, many devotees there, and some of Prabhupada's godbrothers came also to speak. And one of them said, "Yeah, I could have also done what Prabhupada did, but I could not associate with these hippies. I could not associate with these hippies, these low-class people." And these people that he's talking about, they were the ones that covered the whole temple room. So they just thought, boy, this person is really, he's off. Yeah. Prabhupada was able to do it because he had so much love for Krishna. Yeah. And therefore, our society is called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And one devotee suggested, Prabhupada, maybe we should... Actually, it was Swamiji back then. Swamiji, maybe we should call it International Society for God Consciousness, make it a little more broad. And Prabhupada said, no. They don't know who God is. They don't know who God is. So we know who God is. Krishna is God. So we have to let them know who God is. So Prabhupada let them know. And here we're hearing. You know, and many other chapters are going to unfold, you know, showing the greatness of God. This chapter and so many chapters are showing the greatness of God. God's taken up in the sky, you know, and he pulls this demon down. You know. So many religions in the world, but who knows the greatness of God? So this is unfolding, the greatness of God. So many amazing pastimes. So Prabhupada wanted everybody to know the greatness of God. He never hid Krishna except for one time. One of my favorite pastimes of Prabhupada. In 1970, about 30 devotees were with Prabhupada in India. He was traveling around India. He wanted to spread Krishna consciousness throughout India. He had already... You know, he had spread Krishna consciousness quite a bit in America. And actually he said that Rukmini told him, go back to India. Amazing, huh? Rukmini instructed him, go back to India. Don't worry, I'll take care of everything. So he went back to India, and then he started spreading Krishna consciousness all over India. Devotees couldn't keep up with him. He would have sometimes three or four programs in one day. And he would leave one place and he'd go to another place, and the devotees are trying to find out where he is. And he's how old at that time? 1970? He's, you know, over 70, 73, 70, something like that, 74. So the devotees were amazed. So in Madras, there was one minister who very much appreciated what Prabhupada was doing and very much appreciated what all the devotees were doing. He loved the devotees. There was one devotee that he especially liked, and that was little Saraswati. So he wanted to give her a present. So he gave her this solid silver murti of Krishna. It's very beautiful. So she became so happy to have this murti of Krishna. So Prabhupada told this minister, you know, it's very nice that you've given her this gift of Krishna, but it's very expensive. She's a little girl. She'll probably lose it. Do you have anything else similar that's not so expensive? And he said, yes, yes, you're right, and I have something. So he left, took the murti with him, and then Saraswati came back, and she's looking for Krishna. She's looking for the murti. So she's not there, and she says, where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? She's looking at the devotees, where's Krishna? And Prabhupada caught her mood, you know. And Prabhupada said to her, maybe he's in the bedroom, go. Check the bedroom. So she darts into the bedroom looking, and she's looking all around for Krishna. Can't find Krishna, comes back. No, Prabhupada, he's not there. Look in the kitchen. Maybe someone brought him in the kitchen, go. She runs to the kitchen, looking all over for Krishna. Comes back, no, Prabhupada. It's not there. And then Prabhupada starts chanting a verse. Hey Rad, hey Vraja Devi Ke Chalalite, hey Nanda Suno Kuta, Shri Govardhana Kapa Parapatale, Kalindi Vanya Kuta, Go Santa Vriti Sarvato Vrajapare, Ke Dharmahavi Valo, Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yugo, Shri Jiva Gopalako. He said the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were not going around saying, I've seen Krishna. Like you go to Vrindavan, there's so many, you know, sahajas. I had a dream, Krishna came to me, I see Krishna in the bushes. No. They were going all around Vrindavan, where is Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda? Where is Radharani, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu? Where are they? Are they on the bank of the Yamuna? Are they on Govardhan Hill? They're always looking. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So this little Saraswati, she had the same. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So now she's almost in tears. Where is Krishna? So then her father, Shyama Sundar, says to Saraswati, Saraswati, who has Krishna? Then it dawned on her. Prabhupada has Krishna. So then she went to Krishna. She bowed down to Krishna, to Prabhupada. Looks at him and says, Prabhupada, you have Krishna? Yes, I have Krishna. And by then the man had returned. And he had a very colorful murti of Krishna. Much more beautiful. So she was even happier to have this. So the devotees were amazed. All the devotees are standing around watching this incredible pastime where Prabhupada's bringing out so much love from this five-year-old girl. And generally, five-year-old kids, they just want to play. But she was so attached. She used to preach. She would go up to a man and say, do you know who Krishna is? No. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 5-year-old girl preaching. Prabhupada would sometimes mention this. You know, so many people are afraid to preach, but here this 5-year-old girl is preaching. So the devotees were amazed to see this exchange between Prabhupada and this little girl. So this is the one time, the only time, that Prabhupada hid Krishna. And what's the result? That it increased everyone's devotion. This is what happens when Prabhupada hides Krishna. It increases everyone's devotion. So this is the this is our mission, actually. We want to try to help people understand who Krishna is. People are, they're lost. You know? Just like we were lost souls out there, just bewildered by the modes of nature, trying to enjoy a material existence. So, just like when there's a, when someone loses a dog, sometimes people are willing to put up thousands of dollars. When I was in England a few months ago, I found out there was one lady, she was willing to pay 10,000 pounds. Do you know how many dollars that is? That's like $13,000 to get back her dog. Yeah. She had to mortgage her house. Yeah. Why? Because the dog is part of the family. Yeah. Right. So we're lost souls. Of course, we're coming back. I don't want to say that. I could say that about myself. I don't want to say that to everybody. But we're coming back. We're going back to Krishna. So when we go out and preach, when we're distributing books, when we're preaching, we're giving people an opportunity to go back to their master, to their father. Right? So when someone finds a lost dog and the master gets their lost dog back, the people are like so happy to get their dog back or to get their cat back. So Krishna also is very happy when lost souls come back to him. When they come back in front of him, they get darshan of the deity. They're engaged in devotional service. Krishna is very, very happy. Right? And therefore he says, Yaidang palamanguyang madbhakte sabadhasyasi bhaktimaya paramkritva mamivaisyat yasangsaya. There's no one more dear to me than that person that is preaching Krishna consciousness. And there'll never be anyone more dear to me. Why? Because we're bringing lost souls back to Krishna. Yeah. His parts and parcels are going back to Krishna. So therefore he's so happy. And therefore Prabhupada said, if you want to please me, then distribute books. This is what pleases Prabhupada the most. Why? Because it's the most pleasing thing to Krishna. And if we go out and distribute books, you'll see how pleasing it is to you. It's a very ecstatic activity. I had a recent experience at West LA College, our closest college. Actually, it's very sweet. It's amazing. We were going all over the place. You know, we're in another college, and then I started working that one, and it's like incredibly sweet. Usually, I go there, and like within 3 or 4 hours, I've done all my, the 25 Gitas, and it's amazingly sweet. So last week, I was distributing, and this Muslim man from Saudi Arabia came to the table, and I showed him the Bhagavad Gita, and he liked it, and he gave a nice donation. I took the Bhagavad Gita, and then I remembered I have an Islam, what do you call it? Arabic. I had an Arabic book. So I said, hey, I have an Arabic book here for you too. And he says, no, I can't believe it. He was shocked. And he said, thank you so much. He was so surprised because, Islam is not too much looked up to in America right now. They're feeling it right now after Trump took charge, or after he got elected. So about 10 minutes later, he comes back to the table and he says, do you have any more Arabic books for me? I said, I'm sorry. No, I was hit myself in the head because we have two more. We have three and I only brought one type. And I wrote Sachi Narayan, the good news. And he said, what? You didn't only brought one? You should have brought all three. So now I know my lesson. Yeah. I learned my lesson there. So he said, but do you have any more of the same one? And I said, yeah, I have three more. He said, all right, can I have them? I said, yeah. He gave another nice donation. He gave $10, you know, for three little books. So he was just so happy. He said, I've been reading this book, and it's like amazing. This is wonderful knowledge. You know, we don't see, we don't hear things like this in Saudi Arabia. So he was so happy, and they left the table. Came back 10 minutes later again. And he says, do you have another Bhagavad Gita I can get from you? English. I said, yeah, sure. So he gave another nice donation. So I was like, wow, this is too much. So then he left, and I'm waiting for him to come back again in 10 minutes later, because he was coming back again and again. He kept coming back. So I was amazed, and I was just thinking, wow, this book distribution, this is where it's at, you know. I thank Krishna all the time for engaging me in this service. And yesterday, I heard a nice story. Jai Chaitanya Prabhu told me of a man he met here at the temple. He is from Cambodia. And he had neck beads on. He had japa beads also. And Jai Chaitanya went over and started talking to him. He said, oh, how did you find out about Krishna? You're from another temple? He said, no, this is the first temple I've ever been to. And he said, well, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? He said, you know, I found this book in my house, The Science of Self-Realization. I don't know where it came from. But I started reading it, and wow, it's incredible. So I read it, and I looked on the internet, and I found out all about Hare Krishna and neck beads and beads and japa and everything. And the first time he comes to the temple, he's already got neck beads on, chanting japa. And this is from book distribution. This is the power of book distribution. Some people think it's something of the past. But here we see it's happening right here. Who knows how he got that book? But he got it, and it changed his life. Prabhupada one time said, he said, this movement can't be stopped. It's too late. The books are out there. It's too late. And here we see an example right there of this man. He doesn't know how he got it. No one preached to him, but he became a devotee. In Russia, there was one man who got a book similar. He doesn't know how he got it. But he read it, and while he was reading it, he read that this knowledge is so important, it should be distributed throughout the world. So he's a businessman. He had some money. So he thought, wow, this is so good. He read the book about three times. He liked it so much. So he had some books printed. He printed himself about 200 books. And he was distributing them in his city. Amazing, huh? So he's distributing books, and then one traveling Sangirtan party in Russia comes to this city, and they're approaching people, and they approach one person and says, oh yeah, I got one of these books already. And they're thinking, wow, some book distribution team has already been here. And then they met somebody else that already got a book. And they thought, well, I wonder who's here. And then they saw this person distributing books. So they went up to him and said, oh, well, Hari Bo, Prabhu. And he said, who's that? Who's Hari Bo? What's Hari Bo? What do you mean? What do you mean? You don't know what Hari Bo is? You're distributing books? You don't know what Hari Bo is? Never heard Hari Bo. He said, what temple are you from? He said, there's temples? There's temples? Of course there's temples. You're distributing books, you don't know Hari Bo, you don't know temples? How is this? How are you distributing books? Well, I got a book somehow, and it said that knowledge should be distributed throughout the world, so I printed some books out, and I'm distributing. I'm following the instructions of this master, this great master. So the devotee just saw him egg. Couldn't believe it, you know. So there's the example there. He didn't get a book from anybody. He just somehow he got the book, and he's distributing books. Amazing, huh? So then they told him about the various temples around. So, of course, he went to the temple, became a devotee, and, of course, book distributor. And there's no limit to who can and who can't distribute books. In Russia, there was a devotee who was one of the biggest distributors in Russia with no arms. No arms. He would have a devotee put the backpack on his back, and he would go out, and he would talk to people. And he would tell them, you know, I have books in back of my, in the backpack there, and I would like you to read them. And we just asked for a donation. And he was such a powerful preacher. He did it for years and years and years. And there was another devotee in Russia. He was blind. He would go out by himself. You know, you see people going around with their stick. So he would go around with his stick. And he would notice there's someone around. He would, excuse me, I'm a monk. And I have these books. And I want you to read them. And they could see he's blind. And they would get the sympathy. I remember one time I was in Miami airport. And I had this we used to, in Miami, maybe you didn't know, we had tons of mangoes. So you know when you eat mangoes, you get boils? So I had this huge boil on my eye. So there was another devotee at the Miami temple. She used to be she was an assistant to an eye doctor. So she sliced the boil, right, at the airport. And she had this stuff for fixing it up, you know, cleaning it and everything. And then I had this big eye patch on my head. So I was getting the sympathy of the people, you know. They felt sorry for me, so they'd give me a donation and take a book. And so these people that were blind and no one, they got the sympathy of the people. Of course, don't you know, do anything. Sometimes people do fake things, you know, to get the sympathy of the people. We shouldn't do that, of course. But there's nothing that can stop us from distributing books if we want to distribute books. And now we have the marathon. Right around the corner, we have the World Enlightenment Day on the 10th. We just heard it's the advent of the Bhagavad Gita, a very auspicious time to distribute Bhagavad Gitas. So I hope all of you are enthusiastic to get this knowledge out. It's what people need, you know, throughout the world. I'll tell you one more story, and then we'll stop. Another amazing story, right here in the front. Satyanarayan was looking at the book table there. This is on a Sunday, maybe a month ago. And he saw that the books weren't there. The Arabic books weren't there. So he told the devotees, you know, we have Arabic books. Why don't you put some Arabic books here? And they did. 10 minutes later, some three Palestinian brothers, they see the Arabic books there. And they're pretty inspired that, you know, they have Arabic books to read. So they were so inspired that they wanted to take a bunch more with them. How many? Like 40 or something. We want to take them to Palestine. So you can imagine how ecstatic Satyanarayan is. I mean, he's just jumping in joy. So they took about 40, but there's a problem. Palestine is a Muslim country. And there's no airport there. They got to fly in to a country outside of Palestine, and then they got to go through border checks. And there's all kinds of security. So they're a little worried. Are we going to be able to do this? Are we going to pull this off? And it could be even dangerous. You know, because obviously they weren't books for themselves. You got 40. That means they're trying to distribute them. So it could be even dangerous, right? So they fly out. I think it's just one of them flies out. The other two are still here. So after 10 days, Satyanarayan hasn't heard anything because he was supposed to hear from him about, you know, whether he was able to get through or not. So then after 10 days, he got an ecstatic letter saying, I got through. And Krishna must have pulled the wool over their eyes because no one checked my bag. No one checked the bag. It's like, you see, Krishna's the master of all mystics. You see? They were experiencing book distribution, these guys. Krishna covered them up, and then they distributed them all. They became book distributors in Palestine. Probably the first time ever that there was book distribution in Palestine. You know, amazing. So this is the ecstasy of book distribution. So I hope you take it up during this marathon, and especially at least World Enlightenment Day. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.